Galesburg's Morning News.
8:41, Galesburg's Morning News. Presidential campaigns are underway, and we're down to like 500 Republican candidates now, I think, something like that. John Boehner has resigned as the House Speaker. Lots going on in the world of politics, and we're going to talk with a gentleman who knows politics. He knows the law. He knows the Constitution. Professor Emeritus from Illinois State University, Bob Bradley, joins us this morning. Bob, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. It's a very nice, crisp, cool autumn day.
Yeah, pretty darn nice. I know you spent some time in Wisconsin last week. Was it quite this cool up north for you?
No, it was not. It was sort of getting this cool, but it was not. But the leaves have turned much more up there than what they have down here.
And let me ask. I was going to say, sorry to interrupt you. I was going to ask you this: is this perfect golf weather for you, or do you like it to be a little warmer than this?
Oh, this is very nice for me. I don't like playing in real high heat.
All right. Well, Bob, as we said, knows all things politics, the law, the Constitution. One of the things I wanted to ask you, I talked to you a little bit off the air about it. I saw a story this morning that the UAW and Mitsubishi were working on a new contract. There was a contract extension through tomorrow for the plant in Normal that's going to be closing at the end of November. And I was wondering, I hadn't really thought that, and you mentioned some people probably think, well, that means, well, gosh, they're negotiating a new contract. They're going to stay open. Well, that's not the case. It's just, as long as they need workers, they have to be under contract. Is that kind of the gist of it?
Yes, that's very much the gist of it. And for those who read that story and got renewed hope that the auto plant would remain open and everything was going to work out and be hunky-dory for the future, that's not the case at all. That plant Mitsubishi will be out of that plant. Now, the big story will be is whether a new or another auto manufacturer will move into that plant. And that, I think, is what the subject of a whole bunch of discussions going on right now is all about.
Yeah, and, you know, for a lot of us, that seemed like a long shot. I guess, you know, we've gotten a little skeptical here in Galesburg because we had some manufacturing plants that for a long time we hoped somebody would come in and take over. We've ended up having to demolish most of those. But something on that scale with that amount of money, I suppose that there's always that possibility if they maybe get it done sooner rather than later.
Right, and a lot of people forget that is, for a while, was the world leader in terms of incorporating technology into the assembly line. And it is still pretty much a state-of-the-art auto plant. So there is sort of some hope because there wouldn't have to be a lot of retooling that would need to be done in terms of the basic machinery along the assembly line.
Talking with Bob Bradley, he is a retired professor of political science from Illinois State University. All right, Bob, let's get to this presidential campaign. We'll start with Donald Trump. And I guess one of the questions I had that trying to maybe relate Donald Trump and John Boehner resigning, one of the things I see why Trump has garnered so much attention, one, he's not a politician, so he will say things that people want to hear that the politicians won't say. Do you see any correlation between that and people supporting him and John Boehner's resignation, or is that a completely separate issue?
No, they're actually one and the same. They're both parts of a bigger issue for the Republican Party in this country, in that Trump and Boehner actions recently both evidenced a huge split in the Republican Party. Between sort of the traditional business-oriented element of the party and sort of the new right-wing flank of the party. And in a lot of ways, some of the right-wing flank really likes Trump. The right-wing flank has never liked John Boehner for a variety of reasons. And so the two actions, you know, Trump sort of rise in the presidential primary on the Republican side and Boehner's sort of sudden resignation are both indicators of the same problem for the Republican Party. And if the Republican Party wants to win the presidency and maintain control of the Senate, they're going to have to resolve that split sooner than later.
Hmm. Do you draw any parallels between Trump this year and, say, a Ross Perot going back years before, or are they different entities?
They're somewhat the same in regard to one thing that you mentioned, and that was both of them were sort of renowned for speaking their mind and being unconstrained by conventional politics and a little bit by party doctrine. That's really what Perot was very famous for, and that is not being constrained by either Republican or Democratic doctrine. However, one huge difference between them, at least in my mind, is one of them actually knew some stuff substantively and the other one doesn't. And Perot was actually very sharp, particularly on economic issues and the government and economy and the economic sector's interaction. I mean, he predicted the shutdown of the airlines. He predicted mergers among the airlines. He did a whole variety of things that actually came out to be true in terms of predictions he was making in that presidential cycle. Trump has yet to show that type of substantive knowledge thus far in his pronouncements. Whether he will or not remains to be seen.
Bob, Trump seems like a guy to me that I don't know how invested he is in actually being president. He's a guy that loves the spotlight, the limelight, loves the media, and he's having fun right now, getting a lot of attention. Do you see him as a serious candidate, or do you think at some point it's like, okay, I'm tired of this and running around now, let's go back and do something else?
I think still this is part of a quasi-publicity campaign on his behalf. And I've actually written and spoken to others on this, I still do not see him as a serious candidate. I think if you got him off the record, he would be as amazed as anybody at his current stature in the presidential primaries right now. And as long as he continues to get the limelight, I think he's going to stay. Now, what's going to be interesting is down the road, when there's more focus on substantive issues and people are expecting him to come out with some feasible plans in addressing the nation's problems, and they start seeing a lack of that, then I think his candidacy will start to falter. I think right now there's so much antipathy toward government, particularly at the national level, that he's riding the crest of that. And that explains the same thing for Carson Fiorina, the outsider influence. They're perceived to be outside the beltway, outside government, and so a lot of people like them just simply for that.
Well, and I guess the next question, Bob, would be is if especially a Trump were to be elected president, would he be able to really do anything? Because you'd like to, if you get into that office, either have support from one side or the other. And if not everybody's on board on either side, it'd be pretty hard to get much done, wouldn't it?
That's exactly right. And I just cannot foresee Trump becoming president. I mean, that would be a very interesting spectacle. I just spoke to a group of exchange students from Germany a few days ago, and it was 25 students from a university in Germany. And we talked a little bit about Donald Trump because he's the one that sort of was the catalyst for talking about the immigration problem in this country. And, of course, Germany is at the forefront of this in Europe. And to a person, first of all, they all thought that Trump's hair was not real.
we still haven't figured it out
either.
That's
the most important thing.
Yeah.
that was sort of interesting that not one of them thought his hair was real. And then the other thing that was a consensus, and this was sort of a conservative group of university students, they all expressed amazement that we were seriously considering him to be the leader of this nation. They just thought that was appalling, that we were thinking, and they were, you know, somewhat scared by the prospect that he could become president.
I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, well, and yeah. I think, Bob, it probably harkens to the increasing role of I don't know, say popularity contest, pop culture, what have you, that some, I think, have grown up so immersed in pop culture that it's hard to draw that line between what is a celebrity and what is a viable person that could really lead this country through serious issues, isn't it?
Yes, and one of the things that I find, a couple things I find actually sort of dismaying about the primaries thus far is they really show, first of all, the influence of money. I mean, Scott Walker drops out because he is told that if he continues his race, he is going to be in tremendous debt. We're still more than a year away from the election. And this is a guy that drops out already because of lack of money. And the same thing was sort of true for Rick Perry. Also, it shows the power of polling in this country, rather than through public opinion or voter sentiments. And then finally, I am really concerned because I used to teach college students all the time and was really worked hard to overcome the cynicism that they had about American politics. I wonder what's happening to the cynicism level in this country with Donald Trump and others constantly just insulting people. And one of the best lines I've heard lately is you can't insult your way to the presidency. And ultimately, I think that may well be the undoing of Donald Trump.
Yeah, he has put his foot in his mouth numerous times, it seems like, whether it be with the Fox reporter or with John McCain or whatever the case may be. We're talking with Bob Bradley, professor emeritus from Illinois State University, former political science professor. Bob, let's talk a little bit more about John Boehner and that situation. You know, they're saying maybe Kevin McCarthy is the guy, but is he another John Boehner, or is there going to be some more infighting as to who ends up in that House Speaker position?
Well, Kevin McCarthy is going to be in a very interesting position because today they're going to be taking a vote on the federal government and the budget for the federal government. Now, Kevin McCarthy, if he supports the deal that's probably going to come out between McConnell, Boehner, and President Obama on the budget, then the right wing of the party in the House is going to not support him and probably run an opposition candidate against him for the speakership. And that means that the scenario that partly caused Boehner to resign the speakership is still going to be there. That has not disappeared. And even if they arrive at a temporary budget deal, that budget deal is scheduled to lapse December 11th, which means we will be talking about federal government shutdown once again, only closer to the holidays, which will make it even more entertaining. There's also a thing that the Congress will be dealing with that directly affects a lot of Illinois, and that is the highway fund. And that's got to be dealt with, and that will be dealt with right after Boehner resigns. And that'll be a real interesting thing for the new speaker to come in and deal with.
Are you perhaps seeing the same fate for Mitch McConnell, or is he gonna try to fight it out and stay where he's at?
I think one of the things that the Senate is that we, and it was actually designed to be this way, was to be sort of more formal and to be more cordial to one another because it's a smaller body. And right now, people are really reacting very negatively to Senator Cruz and what he's planning to do in regard to the upcoming budget talks and the highway fund and some other, and the import-export bank and some other things. And he's getting a fair amount of flack for this. And I think that will continue. And thus, to answer your question, I think Mitch McConnell is sort of in a more secure position, just simply because the Senate's a little bit different deliberative body than what the House is.
Mm. Bob, how about on the Democratic side? It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of energy right now for any particular candidate. Hillary seems to be coming back to the pack a little bit. Is it possible that we could see another Barack Obama, somebody that's flying under the radar, still come up between now and primary time, or are we pretty well looking at the three that have been the focus of the discussion there?
Well, unfortunately, it's starting to get a little bit late in the game, and this is the impact of some of those off-year elections that the Republicans won so big, those races that nationally we don't pay much attention to, but ultimately have national consequences. A lot of people forget or didn't pay attention to the fact of how many governorships the Republicans have gotten in the last two election cycles and how much control they've gotten over state legislatures in the last two cycles and how many House seats they won. Well, what that meant for the presidential race is you eliminated the possible pool of candidates, or you decimated that pool of candidates quite a bit. And so a lot of those young, aspiring Democrats that were thought to be maybe going to be in the running in 2016 are gone. And the Democrats are really confronted with the fact of how do they, you know, become a young party not entrenched to a legacy. And I think that's the thing that both Clinton and Jeb Bush are confronting, is people are sort of tired of those names running the country, and they're looking toward a fresh face, which is partly why Marco Rubio is doing so well.
Talking with Bob Bradley, retired political science professor from Illinois State University. Bob, let's talk a little bit about the state of Illinois. Of course, in flux with the, you mentioned the possible federal government shutdown. Boy, we've gone without a budget for quite some time now here in the state of Illinois. And we knew going in, and basically it comes down to Bruce Rauner is doing what he said he was going to do. He is trying to fix our budget problems, which will take a long, long time. I don't know that he'll be around to see that through. I'm guessing he may not want to be, but it's a case of, I don't care what organization it is, everybody is suffering because they're not going to get everything due to them. But with this budget impasse, are we going to end up being the Greece of the United States here?
The budget impasse isn't going to be resolved anytime in the future. In fact, certain chambers of the Illinois legislature aren't scheduled to meet until about the third or fourth week of October. And what's going to happen is that the rank and file members of the General Assembly got to go to the leadership and tell them, you guys got to start acting like adults, and we got to solve this. And that magical word compromise is not a dirty word. That's how politics works. And what the listeners of this program need to do to facilitate that is to go to the offices of their state representatives and state senators and tell them enough is enough, that we are all being hurt by this. It doesn't matter what party we are, what philosophy we are, we're all being hurt by this, and you guys need to solve this now.
Bob Bradley joining us, and you're right. Nothing that's going to get resolved anytime soon. Yeah, and I didn't realize. I just seen that, I think, yesterday, that we thought they were going to continue to meet, but they're not. Yeah, now they're not even meeting for quite some time, taking some time off. I guess they don't have anything else to do, right?
No, that's right.
Bob, thanks so much. We always appreciate your time and your input here. And I know normally we talk about what's going on at the Supreme Court as well. Nothing there at this point. Is there? When will they be back in session?
Well, I think the House of the General Assembly is back in session on October 20th, and I think the Senate has actually come back in session later than that.
Okay. All right. Well, Bob, again, thank you so much for your input. We always appreciate your time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Galesburg's Morning News with Tom Meredith and Jim Lee.